Welcome back to the deep dive. You know, typically when we sit down to talk about the AI boom, we're looking at the shiny stuff. We're talking about the magic trick, the chatbot that writes a sonnet in 3 seconds, the image generator that, creates a Renaissance painting of a cat eating pizza. It all feels so weightless, like it's just happening in the ether.
That's the whole design philosophy, right? It's
Yeah.
supposed to feel frictionless, like magic. You type a prompt, you get a result. You're not supposed to think about the machinery.
Exactly. But today we're going to look at the very heavy, very complex, and apparently very fragile infrastructure that is actually holding all of that magic up. We're peeling back the curtain to look at a massive crack that was recently discovered in the foundation. We're talking about something researchers are calling chain leak.
And crack, might be putting it a bit lightly, this is more like a sinkhole that opened up right under the construction site of the modern AI enterprise.
It sounds dramatic, but when you actually read the report from Zafran Labs, which is what we're diving into today, the stakes are just incredibly high. We are not talking about your Spotify playlist getting leaked.
No.
We are talking about enterprise, cloud environments, healthcare systems, financial data.
Right. This isn't just some buggy app on your phone that crashes when you try to upload a photo. This is a critical vulnerability in a tool called Chainlit.
Chainlit.
And for those of you who aren't deep in the developer world, Chainlit is an incredibly popular open source framework.
Okay, so give us a sense of scale here. When we say popular, are we talking about a few hobbyists in a basement, or is this like industry standard?
We're looking at around 700,000 monthly downloads.
Wow.
Yeah. That puts it at an estimated 5 million downloads annually. It's not a niche library. It is a core building block for conversational AI.
So if you've chatted with a custom AI tool recently,
There's a very, very good chance Chainlit was running the show somewhere behind the scenes.
so our mission today is to unpack this. We need to understand how a tool designed to make AI development easier, effectively the easy button for building chatbots, accidentally created a shortcut for hackers to steal the keys to the kingdom.
And maybe more importantly, what this tells us about the state of AI security in general. Because honestly, it's a bit of a wake-up call for the entire industry.
Okay, let's start with the tool itself. Section one, the easy button. Why is Chainlit everywhere? I mean, developers have a million tools at their disposal. Why did this specific one take off like a rocket?
Well, to understand that, you have to understand the headache of building a chatbot before tools like this even existed.
Okay.
Think about building a house. You can go out into the forest, chop down the trees, mill the lumber, forge the nails.
Right, and build every chair and table yourself, which is great if you're a craftsman with infinite time and no deadlines.
Exactly. But most developers, they just want the house. They have a job to do. Chainlit is like ordering a high-end prefab kit. The walls are up, the wiring is done, the furniture's already inside. You just walk in.
So it handles the boring stuff.
It handles the hard stuff.
Yeah.
See, most data scientists and AI engineers, the people building the brains of these bots, they work in Python. That's their native language.
Right.
But building a sleek, responsive user interface, the chat bubbles, the typing indicators, the history view, that's usually done in JavaScript or React.
And those are two very different skill sets. It's like asking a plumber to go paint a mural.
Worlds apart. Chainlit bridges that gap. It provides the face of the operation, the UI, but it also handles all the plumbing on the back end.
Okay.
It takes care of authentication, session management, and the integration with those large language models and vector databases. It lets a Python developer spin up a production-ready chatbot in days, sometimes hours, instead of months.
Speed to market.
Yeah.
That's the golden ticket in tech right now.
It is. And that's why it's not just for hobby projects. It's used in production. We see it in customer service bots, internal corporate knowledge tools, HR assistants. It is sitting inside corporate networks everywhere, often with access to sensitive internal data.
And that brings us to the double-edged sword, because it handles so much of the infrastructure.
If there's a flaw in Chainlit, it's a flaw in everything built with it. It's not just one cracked window, it's a flaw in the concrete used for the foundation of the entire neighborhood.
Which leads us right to the discovery. Zafran Labs found not one, but two critical vulnerabilities that, when you combine them, create this chain leak scenario. Let's look at the first one. This is CVE-2026-222-18. They call it the open book. What exactly is going on here?
So this is technically known as an arbitrary file read vulnerability. And the mechanism is it's alarmingly simple. It involves a specific endpoint in the system called projectalimit.
Okay. Endpoint is one of those words we hear a lot. In plain English, what is that part of the software supposed to be doing?
Normally, it's pretty mundane. It's just there to help the user interface load different elements, like an image or a text file that the chatbot needs to show you.
It's a fetcher. It goes and gets things.
It's a fetcher. Exactly. Sounds harmless.
Sounds harmless.
But the researchers found that if an attacker sends a malicious request with a specific path to that endpoint, the framework gets, well, it gets confused. It doesn't check the request properly. It doesn't validate the input to make sure you're asking for something you should have access to.
It just blindly obeys.
It simply grabs the file requested and copies it right into the attacker's session storage.
I want to use an analogy here to make sure I've got this locked in. Is it like, I walk into a high security archive, I'm supposed to ask for a specific public record, like the 2024 annual report.
Right. That's the intended use.
But instead, I hand the archivist a slip of paper that says, go to the basement, open the CEO's private safe, take the blueprints to the bank vault, and bring them to me. Mm. And the archivist, instead of calling security, just smiles, walks downstairs, photocopies the blueprints, and hands them to me.
That is a disturbingly accurate analogy.
Yeah. The system is too polite. It fulfills the request without asking, wait, who are you? And why do you need the blueprints to the vault? It just assumes if you ask for it, you must be allowed to have it. So practically speaking, what are the blueprints in this scenario? We aren't just talking about reading the chat logs.
Oh, it's much, much worse than chat logs.
Mm.
Because this runs on the server, attackers can read configuration files.
Okay.
In the coding world, we often store secrets in files like .env or config.py. These files are like the keychain for the entire application.
And what's on that keychain?
The keys to the universe. We're talking AWS credentials, Azure service principles, Google Cloud service account keys, API keys for OpenAI or Stripe.
Wait, pause there. If I'm running this chatbot on AWS, this bug lets a hacker steal the keys that control my entire AWS account.
Potentially, yes. If those keys have administrative privileges, which, let's be honest, in a lot of rushed deployments they often do, the hacker becomes the administrator.
Wow.
They can spin up servers to mine crypto on your dime. They can delete your backups. They can steal your customer databases.
That is terrifying. It turns a simple chat tool into a skeleton key for the entire company.
And it gets more granular, too. If you're using Squalite databases, which a lot of these apps do to store user history, the attacker can just download the whole database file.
The whole thing.
Every conversation, every user email, every piece of context the AI has been fed.
And the kicker here, does the hacker need a password to do this? Do they need to trick an employee into clicking something?
No. No user interaction required whatsoever.
That's the part that really scares me. I don't have to click a phishing link. I don't have to download a bad attachment. A bot can just scan the internet, find a chainlet app, and just slurp up the data automatically.
Exactly. It's an automated harvest of credentials. You could be asleep, and your entire infrastructure is being cloned.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, that was just the first crack.
Right, because Zafran Labs called it Chainlink for a reason. There's a chain. Let's talk about the second flaw. CVE-2026-2219. This one involves something called School Alchemy and acts like a proxy.
Yeah, this one is a server-side request forgery, or SSRF for short. It specifically affects deployments using the School Alchemy data layer, which is a very, very common way to talk to databases.
SSRF. We've covered this briefly in previous deep dives, but refresh our memory.
Think of it like ventriloquism. The attacker tricks the server into making a web request on their behalf.
Okay, so how does that work in this specific case?
The attacker submits a custom element with a URL that they control. The chainlet server sees this URL, trusts it completely, and makes a GVT request to it. Then the attacker can download whatever the response is.
So why is that bad? If I tell the server to go to google.com, who cares?
Well, if it was just google.com, it wouldn't be a big deal. The danger comes up because this server is sitting inside your corporate network or your cloud environment.
Ah, I see where this is going. It's about location.
Precisely. In cloud environments, we often have what's called a soft center. The outside perimeter is hard, you know, firewalls, VPNs, heavy security. But once you're inside the walls, internal services often trust each other. They assume if a request is coming from inside the house, it must be friendly.
So the attacker is using the chainlet server as a puppet. They make the chainlet server talk to other internal servers that the attacker couldn't reach directly from the outside.
Exactly. It's a proxy. They can use this to probe internal IP ranges, map out the entire network, see what other services are running. But the holy grail here is something called cloud metadata.
Cloud metadata. This is a term that keeps coming up in major breaches, Capital One, for example. Why is exposing this metadata so dangerous?
So the metadata service is kind of like the ID card and the instruction manual for a cloud server. It usually lives at a very specific, non-readable IP address, 169.254.169.254.
That sounds oddly specific.
It is, and it's only accessible from on the server. You can't hit it from the internet.
Right.
But because of the SSRF, the attacker can force the chainlet server to call that number.
Wow.
And when it does, the metadata service hands over all this sensitive info about the infrastructure. But most importantly, it often hands over temporary security credentials.
Wait, so the server asks for its own ID, gets the temporary keys to act as itself, and then just hands those keys over to the hacker.
That is exactly it. The hacker effectively clones the identity of the server.
So let's look at the big picture here. We have one flaw that lets you steal files and another that lets you map the internal network and trick servers. This brings us to section 4, the nightmare scenario.
This is why Zafran Labs coined the term chain leak. It's not just about one bug. It's about chaining them together to completely dismantle an organization's security.
Okay, connect the dots for us. How does a hacker combine these into a coherent attack?
All right, so imagine you are the attacker. Step one, you use the SSRF, that second vulnerability to look around. You use the chainlet server as a periscope.
Okay.
You map the internal network. You find the valuable targets, maybe a database server that isn't facing the internet, or a specific storage bucket labeled confidential.
So now I have the map. I know where the treasure is buried.
Step two, you use the arbitrary file, read that first vulnerability, to steal the specific credentials for those targets you just found. Maybe you grab the .env file that contained the password for that internal database.
I have the map, and now I have the keys.
Step three, lateral movement. This is the pivot. You stop attacking the chat app. You don't even need it anymore. You use those stolen cloud keys to log directly into the storage buckets, the databases, the compute instances. You move from the application layer to the infrastructure layer.
That is terrifyingly efficient. A single compromised chat widget, something you put on your site to answer FAQs, can lead to a complete takeover of an organization's cloud environment.
And remember, this bypasses firewalls. The request looks like it's coming from the legitimate application. It's the perfect camouflage.
So from the security team's perspective,
it just looks like the chatbot is doing its job right up until the ransomware note appears.
It really highlights how fragile these complex systems can be. Now, I want to talk about how this was handled, because with open source, the timeline really matters.
It does. And we should all be thankful this was found by white hat researchers at Zafran Labs and not, you know, a state-sponsored hacking group.
So let's look at the calendar. November 23rd, 2025, Zafran sends the notification to the maintainers, hey, you have a massive hole in your code.
And then silence.
Silence. For how long?
For a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we have to be fair here. This is the constant struggle of open source. We picture these massive teams, but often it's just a few incredibly smart people working out of a home office.
Right, they're balancing feature requests, bugs, probably their day job.
Exactly, and suddenly they get a report saying the sky is falling. I mean, it's a lot of pressure. But they did acknowledge it on December 9th. And once they engaged, they worked fast. On December 24th, 2025, Christmas Eve, they released version 2.9.4 with the fix.
A nice Christmas present for the security community. But it brings up a really interesting point about the human factor. We are building critical infrastructure stuff that healthcare and finance rely on code maintained by small teams who might be responding to critical bugs during their holiday break.
That is the central tension of this whole AI gold rush. The pressure to innovate, to ship new features, to get the newest LLM integration. It so often outpaces the resources available for security. We are building skyscrapers on foundations that are still drying.
So let's pivot to the solution. If I'm listening to this and I know my company uses Chainlit, or maybe I'm a developer just playing around with it, what do I need to do right now?
Immediate action is required. And I mean right now. First, inventory. You can't fix what you don't know you have.
That sounds obvious, but that's the shadow IT problem, isn't it?
It's a huge problem. Maybe a data science team spun up a Chainlit instance for a demo 3 months ago to show the VP of marketing some cool new feature.
And they just forgot about it.
They forgot about it. It's still running on a dev server somewhere. It's still vulnerable. And that forgotten server is a backdoor into the company. You need to scan your network and find every single instance.
Okay, so we find them. Then what?
Patch. You need to upgrade to version 2.9.4 at a minimum.
Yep.
The current version is 2.9.6, which is even better. Do that immediately.
Okay, I patched it. I'm safe, right?
Yeah.
No, wait. Usually patching fixes the bug.
This is the most crucial point, and people forget it constantly. Patching closes the door. But if the thief has already stolen the keys, closing the door doesn't keep them out.
Well, they have the key.
They have the key. If they use the file read vulnerability, they already have your API keys and cloud credentials copied to their machine. You have to assume you are compromised.
Yeah.
You must rotate your secrets.
Rotate your secrets. Explain that for the non-technical listener.
It means changing the passwords. Generate new API keys for OpenAI or Anthropic. Change the database passwords. Issue new tokens for AWS. And then, this is key, revoke the old ones. If you don't do this, the patch is effectively meaningless.
That is a heavy lift. Rotating secrets in a large enterprise is not a fun afternoon.
It's painful. Things will absolutely break. But the alternative is leaving your front door unlocked with a sign that says, welcome.
So what about the long term? How do we prevent the next chain leak? Because there will be a next one.
We need to adopt least privilege. You have to ask yourself, why does a chat application need permission to read every single file on the server?
It shouldn't.
It shouldn't. Run apps with minimal permissions. If it only needs to talk to one database, lock it down so it can't talk to anything else. Okay. That way, if it gets hacked, the damage is contained in a small box.
And zero trust. I'm hearing that everywhere.
Zero trust. Stop trusting your internal network. Put authentication in front of everything. Even if two servers are sitting right next to each other in the data center, digitally speaking, they should still have to show ID before they trade data.
And I suppose we should treat AI apps just like any other software when it comes to testing.
Absolutely.
Huh.
Security needs to be part of the AI development lifecycle, not an afterthought. Include these AI apps in your regular penetration testing and vulnerability scanning. Don't give them a free pass just because they're experimental or innovative.
That makes so much sense. It feels like we've been treating AI like this separate category. Like, oh, that's the magic box. Don't touch it. But at the end of the day, code is code.
And bugs are bugs. And vulnerabilities are vulnerabilities, regardless of how smart the chatbot seems to be.
So to recap today's deep dive, Chainleak isn't just a glitch. It's a combination of two flaws, arbitrary file read and SSRF, that lets attackers turn a really popular AI framework into a weapon against your own cloud.
It allows them to map your network, steal your credentials, and take over your infrastructure, all without you clicking a single button.
And the fix is to patch to version 2.9.4 or higher, and say it with me.
Rotate your secrets.
Rotate your secrets.
Please, don't be the company that patched the hole but left the keys with the burglar.
Before we go, I want to leave you with a thought. We talked about how Chainlit has 700,000 monthly downloads. It's a massive piece of the ecosystem. And it had this massive hole in it.
It makes you wonder what else is out there.
It does. We are rushing to build the future on open source code. It's wonderful, it's democratic, but it's also fragile. If a framework as popular as Chainlit can expose the cloud secrets of major enterprises, how many other chain leaks are just sitting in our code bases right now?
Mm-hmm.
How many other easy buttons are actually trapdoors just waiting for someone to lean on them?
That is the question every CTO needs to be asking themselves tonight.
Something to mull over. Stay curious, stay innovative, but above all, stay secure. Thanks for listening to The Deep Dive.